sound set.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
S&P hits a new record, but the Dow Jones lags. Oil prices surging 15% over the last 2 weeks. And we have a ceasefire with Russia and the Ukraine. All this and much more on episode 400 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Well, hello and welcome. Andrew Horowitz here, and it is the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We are on episode 400. You know, we've been at this for, what would that mean? Close to 7 years now, would that be about? 7 or 8 years, actually. Started this way back in the end of, 2008. It's about 50 shows a year, about 8 years. What are we talking about here? About that long. Pretty amazing here. Only missed a couple of weeks in the interim throughout the whole entire process because I like being here helping. And when I don't show up, boy, do I get the emails. Thanks for the emails, by the way. I do appreciate those. AskAndrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com is where you can send any of your comments, suggestions, or your questions. Make sure to understand that I can't give any individual advice on stocks, but if there's some general questions, some things you want to know, some direction, I'm all for it. And, of course, we have those listener shows. We had one a couple weeks ago, talked about all the listener questions that had come in that I thought were of interest that would be usable, but I do, just to let you know, I do actually write back to everybody that sends me an email. So don't be shy. AskAndrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com. So what do we have doing out there? Lots happening. So that oil has been surging. Why? Well, companies are doing what they have to do here. They're fighting back. This is a fight. That's really, if you boil it down to what's going on, it is a fight between the East and West, really. It is a fight between those companies, those organizations that have a massive amount of oil and a little more leeway than those companies that are coming up and new and trying to take over. It's, as you've heard this word before, it's a disruption. It is a companies that are in the U.S. in the fracking and the shale areas that are now bringing up oil and are bringing it up in just tremendous amounts that have forced the hand of the old line players, the OPEC companies and countries that have been providing the oil all these years. And what happened was that they got pissed off. OPEC said, wait a minute, we're seeing that all of a sudden that the usage, the buy rate has dropped significantly due to the fact that there are companies in the U.S. in particular that are finding, drilling, bringing up, refining, and selling all sorts of petroleum products. Where does that leave us? They said, you know what? What we'll do is we will keep pumping. We will drive prices down. And that's exactly what happened. Now, let's talk about what's happened since that. We know that's been going on. We talked about this over the last 5 or 6 different podcasts with some really great guests. We talked about this in some of the discussion I had in the DH Unplugged. I also mentioned this about 4 weeks ago on the Tuesdays. We do this TradeStation Tuesdays every other Tuesday. This coming up, this Tuesday, at 11 o'clock over at TradeStation, you could actually follow along. We're going to be talking about a variety of things. One of the things we brought up, showed the charts of, was all these different oil companies. Not only the Exxons and the rigs and the shales, but everybody in between looked at them and said, you know what, this may be a very good time to start thinking about getting involved with these. Maybe not fully, but legging in. And sure enough, if you look at a lot of these companies, you look at the Halliburton, you look at Continental Resources, you look at some of these companies and it's like, wait a minute, they're actually up very nicely for 2015. When did that happen? It's been slowly but surely as oil has been leveling off since it hit about 44, 45. Now, there's more than just the oil price that goes into this. And that's where the second part of the story gets really interesting. Again, I talked about this And I just want to make sure you really understand what's happening when it comes to the supply-demand dynamic that goes on with a commodity such as oil, such as gold, copper, platinum, palladium, silver, gold, all of these. Because these companies that are involved in this business can do such a wonderful job of creating their own level of supply and demand. Because this, again, is a commodity. Let's get that straight. This is not a discretionary item. And as such, a commodity is used on a regular basis. It's needed. It's required to get through the daily functions of a business, an individual, etc. So we use petroleum in so many different products, not only for gas for our car and oil. Manufacturing uses it. I mentioned it's baby diapers, it's lipstick, it's just all sorts of things that are made from derivatives of the oil. Now, the oil companies shut down their rigs, shut down operations, fired a lot of people. The oil companies decided in the U.S. that, you know what, they can't just be held hostage by these prices. They need to start slowing down their production because it doesn't look like the OPEC nations are going to slow down their production at all. And as such, what happened was that there's two things. First, we didn't see really a big change in the inventory level because the demand isn't there yet. Even though we saw a little bit less inventory growth this week than we saw the week before and last week, what we did see was massive firings. We saw that the rig counts have dropped dramatically. We saw that many of these companies are selling off a lot of their machinery to keep afloat. When they are shutting down their rigs, when they're shutting down their production, unless OPEC decides to now increase production dramatically, what's going to happen is that their cost factors are going to go down. Now, they're not making the revenue either because, of course, they're not pumping as much and selling as much. But now what's happening is investors are noticing and they're saying, wait a minute, these companies are now cutting their costs dramatically. When and if oil prices move back higher, it's going to be really good for them. And that's what's happening. Now, whether or not oil is at its final level of staying above 50, it's about 52 and change, closed on Friday, or whether or not it's going to drop back down to 40, 30, 20 is yet to be seen. But if we could say that there is a baseline here of the pricing of oil, and if we can say that many of these companies have done a very good job to contain their costs, then we can also say that maybe the worst is over for their share prices and for their earnings, possibly. Now, you have to be selective, but I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go and look at maybe the membership of the S&P 500, the spider that has the energy, is XLE. Look at the names of the companies that are in there and find out if those companies and how they're doing. Chart them, put them on a watch list. Maybe these are companies that have been beaten down to a point that there is a nice upside opportunity. Now, whether or not they're going to get back to their all-time highs right away is obviously something that they'd have to work very hard to do. Oil would have to spike dramatically. But if, in fact, oil starts progressing higher, and let's say it gets to 60, can you imagine now the earnings power that many of these companies have because they have really cut the fat dramatically? This is something you have to realize, that companies will do this. They will recognize what is happening in their industry. Now, maybe there'll be some companies be behind the curve, some companies ahead of the curve. But generally speaking, when they see their earnings dropping and their revenues dropping dramatically, what will happen is it's a wake-up call. And they will do something to change the dynamic of what's going on. And that is a smart management team. You need to find which ones are doing that. So when you're seeing that Halliburton is cutting 10% or so of its overall global workforce, realize that they're doing so in an effort to keep their earnings up. They're doing so to make sure the company stays profitable. And they can always hire them back when things are good, but they're trying to stay ahead of the curve right now. So the oil thing here is just really a very dynamic and I think an important characteristic of what's happening around the world. We saw that Russia now has supposedly some kind of a cockamamie peace arrangement with Ukraine. Now, they forged this, I guess it was Thursday through Friday, we'll call it, of last week. And they said, okay, as of February 15th, we're going to have this ceasefire. I never really understood this. I never understood, what is the deal with a ceasefire that is in the future? Like, you know, okay, here's the deal. Keep on shooting, keep on killing, keep on shelling, keep on throwing rockets, keep on rolling the tanks in until the midnight of February, then stop. No wonder so many peace accords are broken that are very fragile. I mean, watches could be off. Word doesn't get out. So I think that we'll see what happens with this, but there may be further sanctions put upon Russia, you know, if they continue to do anything that's not aligned with this peace accord, at least this temporary ban. And one of the things that also is interesting is if we could at least have some of the problems that we've seen from the, you know, from all these very harsh sanctions lifted or at least stabilized, it's possible we're going to see that European markets have a lot more room to run. They're already pouncing the U.S. markets. A lot of that is due to the fact that we see this QE that's going to start up. And a lot of investor sentiment has shifted to say, hey, we're much more excited about that. We'll also see what happens with Greece. That's something that we'll talk about a little bit later. Now, consumer confidence fell in February from a multi-year high. This is with jobs numbers really picking up very nicely that we saw. This is with wage growth that we saw. This is with oil prices depressed. Consumer confidence dropped pretty dramatically. And we also saw that retail sales dropped. Now, a lot of the drop in retail sales was due to the fact that you know, oil prices are down and filling stations have been hit pretty hard with that. And there's some thought that maybe they'll, you know, maybe some of the money that will be spent on gas wouldn't be saved, but a lot of it is being saved right now. I think people are looking at this as a temporary situation. We also saw that jobs numbers, initial claims, ticked up ever so slightly. So when looking at some of the things that we're dealing with in the U.S., even though we did see markets hit an all-time high in terms of the S&P, the one caveat to this is that the economic surprise index that I'm looking at, which looks at the comparative of, okay, what is the estimate of economic activity for, let's say, factory orders or for employment, for leading into all the different things that go into economic indicators, what are the estimates as compared to the reality? And if you see that, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put that chart, I think I tweeted that last week, I'm going to put that chart in the show notes for this episode over on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. I want you to hit your pause button for a second, go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com and check that out, because that is interesting. That chart tells a much different story than you see with market reaction. Earnings outlook is pretty much okay. It's been doing okay. It was 1 cent beat here or there. The usual 75% or so of companies are beating earnings estimates, but the estimates for next quarter and the quarter after that are significantly lower. I think we have a chart of that also. I'll put that on the site. So look at those two things. Look at the fact that usually markets will react after a downstroke of economic activity in terms of economic surprise index, and it's lagged. Because what happens is that oftentimes when things are going well, analysts will continue to raise their expectations on the economy. Then naturally, they just go with the trend. And they have to now catch up. Now they have to start lowering down their estimates. So now they're going to lower down their estimates. They're going to lower down their outlook. Markets, market participants, followers of economics are going to look at that and say, wait a minute, look at this. All of a sudden we had, as an example, a plus five. Now it's a negative two for the average of our economic overview. And our analyst is saying that things are going to get a lot worse because now they have to start catching up to their incorrect estimates that they put on before. And what happens? Now the markets oftentimes will follow that. Now, they're probably going to go too far in the wrong direction. Now we'll see the surprise index turn to the other side. So there's this lagging that goes on between actual market reaction and economic activity. So take a look at this chart. You'll see what I'm talking about when you see that. And then also the estimates that we're seeing on the S&P are pretty low. Some of the lowest we've seen in years in terms of growth. The growth over the next two quarters looks pretty lousy, both for EPS and for growth of revenue, which I thought was really interesting. Some of the headwinds that we're seeing is the dollar, obviously, we know is hurting things from an international basis. So we'll take a look at that. Go over to the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and check it out. So I've received a lot of questions over the years and recently a few as well about ideas and how do you find them? How do you find those great trading ideas, or at least how do you derive from all the information that's out there that this could be something I want to look into? Or better yet, how in fact do you even get to that point? How does an idea come to you and what do you do with it from there? So I thought I would talk about that. There's a few different ways that you can go about this, and some of it's a bit more forced. Some of it is a bit more natural. Some of it is a combination. So I'll give you some examples. In terms of a process to finding ideas, we call that, at least here, quantitative analysis, where we look through a variety of different fundamental criteria and find those stocks that maybe have an edge over others. Maybe we're looking at return on equity, growth of earnings, growth of revenue, or a whole host of other things that may show up in characteristics of stock that outperform over time. And that list that you generate from there can then be further refined and look at technicals, etc. Now, when you look at it this way, when you filter stocks based on different criteria, it may or may not actually turn out to be something that's good, because now you have to deal with a bigger picture of what do markets want? What are they looking for? Is it just a PE ratio that is depressed that looks like a stock may be undervalued? Is it a PE ratio, a PEG ratio, an enterprise value that is overvalued dramatically for whatever reason that says that this is a stock you shouldn't own or maybe short? So when you're looking at just the numbers on a piece of paper, even though you may combine many of them together, the question is, where does that take you? Well, one of the things you can do is you can do some back testing of that. You can find systems out there that will actually allow you to find different fundamental factors, different technical factors, and then back test the results over time using the same criteria over a number of years. That may or may not work. And I don't really recommend that very highly, because what happens is then you're going to start looking for things that made sense in the past that may not actually play out in the future. There are other things like Investors Business Daily talks about innovation, new companies, looks at not only the fundamentals, but who has something that's really going to be changing things in the future, looking at early developers, disruptors in industries, etc. That's interesting. That adds another dimension that's not really something that you can necessarily quantify when you're doing these kinds of research, just looking at all the historical information. A lot of things may come into play, like change of management that may all of a sudden shift much of what's going on, change in an economy, where again, much of it changes and maybe management isn't capable of keeping up. So when you're looking at the idea generation phase, we can look at fundamentals and quantitative analysis. We can look at momentum. We can look strictly at technical. What looks like it's going to be breaking down due to a pattern that is recognizable? Maybe we're looking at technical analysis using something like a MACD, stochastics, looking at an RSI, any of these kind of factors that would give us an idea that, well, this stock is overdone, or it's you know, going to be looking like it has a head and shoulder pattern and the right shoulder is forming and maybe dropping down, and we got to look at the neckline and calculate a little bit and come up with where the target is. That's another way. Technical analysis. Now you can screen and scan for those as well, but you know, usually looking at the actual chart on your screen and using some of the indicators that come along with that, whether you're looking at some trading package or a company that puts out a charting package. And there's another way. So now we talked about quantitative, which can look at some fundamental criteria. And then we're looking at technical, where we can look at a chart and see what's going on there. Of course, you can do research, etc. But one of the ways that's kind of off the beaten path is doing what I call the man on the street look. Kind of look at what you're doing, what you're buying. What is it you're actually seeing that you really like? I'll give you some examples of this and maybe it will spark some ideas. So let's say that you notice that, and kind of take this back a little bit. Don't think about it right now, but take this back over time. You notice that, wow, man, I'm driving down the road. And how annoying is it that every time I get to the Starbucks, the cars through the drive-thru are so long that I can't even get my car passed on this two-lane highway. I got to wait till a car goes, then move. They're always causing traffic. What a pain in the neck. It's really bad. They really should do something with their parking lot. Now, on first glance, you could say, how annoying is that you're driving through? Now, if you're thinking about this and trying to understand some of the dynamics, you may say to yourself, wait a minute. Cars are piled up here in the morning like that. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe I should look into this company a little bit more. Now, maybe you're also looking at, for example, in the sporting goods store. And you're doing your thing and you realize, wow, man, these Under Armour shirts are awfully comfortable. I'm going to buy a few for myself. Then you buy a few more. Then you realize and you see there's some competition, but man, these Under Armour are still the best. I really like them. They're a little pricey, but I'm willing to buy them. Now, did you stop yourself and say, wait a minute, I love these shirts. And you know what? This is something that I really enjoy wearing. It's really comfortable. It's, you know, the wicking of the fabric and everything about it. And I find myself buying more and more of these shirts. My whole closet is semi-filled with these shirts. And you realize, wait a minute, I'm probably not the only one doing this. Yeah, this could be something that I like that maybe, but this is probably bigger. Let me start looking around to who else is buying these, who else is wearing these, and realize that maybe I should be looking at Under Armour as something that is a very interesting opportunity. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters makes the Keurig. Do you have one of those in your house? Do you love it? People love it. Now, again, there are certain limits to how much you can do this. You got to make sure that you're not just thinking about things that you like. Oh, I really love this blanket. I'm going to go buy this company that makes the blankets. Now, I mean, you got to think of something that there will be a massive amount of people that would really flock to this and love it. You know, do you find yourself using eBay a lot or Amazon a lot? Do you find yourself, for example, I'll give you an example. We found that we're not using eBay that much. We're using Amazon a lot. But we'd find ourselves in business and myself using PayPal. Well, PayPal is an eBay company. PayPal is a big valuation. Should I be looking into eBay as a company, especially when they're talking about doing a spinoff of PayPal, and where's the opportunity there? When I came up with the GoPro idea, it was because I looked at this and I said, wait a minute, why would I buy this? Why would others buy this? Let me look at this as a new company. There's an opportunity here. I bought the camera. I said, you know what? It confirmed what I thought, that it's nice. It's interesting to have. It's a great opportunity for someone to have something for the Christmas. There's a big buzz about it. But after that, I don't see it. You can go on and on with these examples. Have you noticed that you're maybe not eating as much McDonald's anymore? That you're kind of saying, well, you know what? There are other options. Pollo Tropical, there's Chipotle, there's maybe Starbucks. Maybe you don't want to eat that greasy food at McDonald's anymore. It's really not good for you. You're trying to lose weight. You notice that a lot of people and a lot of other companies out there are coming up with more healthier options. So you take McDonald's, maybe not the best. So these are kind of the things that you need to start picking up with on a daily basis as you're moving around town. What is it that your friends are talking about? Maybe they're all talking about it on Facebook. Hello? Yes, Facebook. Maybe you got a Twitter account, but you're not using it as much anymore, and neither is anybody else, and they're using maybe Snapchat to communicate quick messages. Start thinking, maybe Twitter is not the place I want to be for investing. You follow what I'm saying here? You have to look at your daily lives, and every once in a while, stop and say, wait a minute, not on every... Listen, first of all, let me backtrack. Don't just start looking at everything as you're driving around and saying, oh, yes, that company they're delivering and this and that, and I should look at them. And start thinking of the things that are underlying what you're finding the trends to be and try to be early. People are drinking more wine now. They're drinking more craft beers now. Is that going to be a problem for some of the beer companies that, like a Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, or are they going to be buying? You see a lot of more people, they're going to be buying companies. You see a lot more people maybe drinking these craft beers. Maybe look at the vineyards. Maybe look at the distributors as opportunities. What about this? There's a lot of vaping going on. Maybe the mainstream cigarette companies are really going to have a problem with this, or maybe it's going to be actually good for them. You got to kind of figure that out. So you have to look at the trends of what's happening. raise your antennas to what's going on. And sometimes the hardest things to pick out are the things that are right in front of you. Let's go back to Green Mountain Coffee Roasters for a second. Oh, you know, you say, I love that Green Mountain. It's fantastic. I love it. It's great. And then, but you're not thinking that this could be something that everybody else is doing as well. You may think, I don't know, I like it, but who knows who else likes it? You may go to somebody else's house and they have it too. Now, when you start hearing people talk about it, just mentioning of it, that should perk up your investing antennas and say, wait a minute, let me look into this company. There was a time that I was at a hockey game. And recently I had been talking to somebody else about AOL. And this is way back. And we talked about it. And the guy behind me started talking about AOL as well. I overheard this conversation. He was talking pretty loudly. And I said, wait a minute. Now, there's a lot of talk going on with this AOL. Let me check this whole thing out. And I checked it out. And it was this internet thing. And we bought the stock in it. It did very well for a while there. Very well. Everybody's talking about the Google. You know, what are you going to do? The word is not search it, research it, not do anything like that. It's not Bing it. It's Google it. Google it. Google it. Become a very standard. Netflix, do you use it? Do you hate it? You know, these are the things that you need to do on a regular basis. Just pay attention. Maybe have a pad with you near your bed or something, and you're starting to think about things and you're doing things and people are talking about different things. Write it down, then do some research on it. Some of the best ideas come when you get these viral types of products that are being used and you can actually invest in them. Now, you also have to differentiate between those products that are short-lived and those products that are going to be here for a while. You need to find out those products that will be mainstays, that will be part and parcel of daily living for people, if those are going to be ones that you can find a company that will do very well with, and you find those other ones that maybe you just want to hop on for a little while and then get off. So idea generation can come from a lot of different places. It comes from a very strict set of criteria, which you're using a screen to find. It could be looking at technicals. It could be looking at research pieces. And it could even look at or come from your daily life and your observations of what's going on out there. Pay attention to all of these. Put them together. When you find that maybe there's companies that cross over several of these, you have a good idea, happens to have good fundamentals, comes through a screen, or at least you look at the balance sheet, you look at the outlook, it looks good, and you find the technicals are looking good as well, man, you got a really good opportunity to have a good idea, something that's going to really play out well for you for the future. And you should try to write down why that was, put a list together. Okay, this is why I invested. I thought of the idea because I saw this happening and that happening, and signs were all over, commercials were on TV, everybody seemed to be talking about it. And then I looked at the financials. They were growing their revenues at 75% per year over the last couple of quarters. And the opportunity seems much bigger. Earnings are growing dramatically. And then I looked at the chart and we saw that there was a breakout happening. Man, bam, I bought it. So again, just something to give you some food for thought on how to find and utilize these stock ideas and generate some kind of a list of maybe these kind of things that will move. And do yourself a favor, though. Do not use personal preference only. For example, I hate Chipotle. I wouldn't invest in that stock. So therefore, I'm going to short it. Well, you may have bad taste buds. Or you may have very good taste buds. Everybody else has bad taste buds. Whatever it may be, that's not the only reason why you should invest or not invest there. Keep an open mind. Just listen to what everybody else is talking about and see if you can fold that into your research. I think it'd be something that should benefit you. Now, switching over to earnings and economics for a minute, we haven't really covered this area too much. We've covered earnings, but not really the economics and what to expect in the next week. But there are some things that we need to pay attention to over this coming week, aside from the whole saga in Greece and whether or not Ukraine and Russia actually hold their ceasefire, some of the things that are happening in Europe with the attacks in Copenhagen, terrible. Absolutely awful. But I thought what we'd do was spend a little bit of time talking about the estimates, the earnings, the economics of what to look for next week. Because I think if you look at the market, and you look at the trend, you look at what's happening with these Vs, you see this sharp move down in the S&P, you see this real
significant move up right from the bottom. I mean, just goes right to the bottom and just kicks right back up. And if you measure that based on bars or days, daily moves of the S&P or the Dow or the NASDAQ, oftentimes you find this move which has this tremendous slope down for about 7 to 12 days and then a reversal, almost a mirror effect, somewhat immediately. Now, when we look at a couple of different indicators, one of them is something they use in Asia. It's a counting methodology where they look at candles and they count candles and new highs and trends. And historically, it's been about a 10 count for the up and down moves. We're on number 8 right now. Now, that doesn't mean you can't continue moving in the same direction of the trend, of the recent trend. But what we're going to see, hopefully, is a direction that will either break and continue moving in that direction, or what we may find right now with all the earnings and economics coming up is that that number 10, when it comes, if it actually does appear and completes that technical indicator trend, will then probably show either a turn lower due to many of the other factors that are out there, maybe some exhaustion of the trend, or we may see a leveling off and somewhat of a consolidation. Now, some of the things that are coming up that are I thought were interesting in terms of the timing of this, in particular next week on the 18th, is the U.S. Federal release of the minutes from the January FOMC meeting. Now, that would play right into that timing model, again, from this particular candle counting timing model that we've seen. But let's go backwards here for a second. We have a couple of things I think that are important on the 17th at 10 a.m. in the morning. The NAHB Housing Market Index will be released. That's the essentially the builder's confidence, the confidence in the future of how many houses they're going to build, the overall environment for housing and selling homes, building, etc. We're at 57 right now. Expectations are to move that to 58. Now, if you haven't noticed, we did see some disappointing numbers in the first part of this year for many of the home builders. Stocks really got hurt during the first part in the actually the fourth quarter of last year. And now we're seeing a move quite higher. As a matter of fact, the XHB, which is the ETF for the SPDR home builders, is at a recent high, highest since 2007. And that's with the fact that we've seen interest rates move to historic lows over the last few months and then turn around pretty dramatically when there's a thought that the Fed will actually come in and start raising rates, but also the economy is doing better, particularly on that last, I think it's the last two jobs numbers that we saw. So keep a watch on that, looking for a 58. Oftentimes when you see that number come out, there's a direct link to the performance of the underlying companies like Lennar or D.H. Horton or KB Homes. But watch XHB and you can get a taste of really what the effect is going to be on that. We also have housing starts coming out on the 18th, looking for a little bit of a drop in housing, about 1.7% month-over-month drop compared to last month. And we have PPI. Now, PPI is the Producer Price Index. This is the, I guess we can call it wholesale inflation. This is the numbers that are being paid and the amount that's being paid in the comparative for manufacturers and importers, etc. Now, PPI ex food and energy is expected to be 0.1 versus 0.3. Final demand, 0.4 versus 1.1. Now, we look at ex food and energy on a year-over-year, we're looking at 2%. Okay, so that's good. The smoother average is good. But you know what we've seen recently with import prices, I would bet we're going to see more of a deflationary trend. Now, that may bode well for those that are looking for further easing or at least not raising and tightening of rates by the Fed over the next, we'll call it, 6 months or so. And then what we'll have is, of course, the same day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Fed release of the minutes that we talked about. And we'll see what they're talking about and what they're thinking. I don't think there's a lot of unanimous discussion going on about either raising or keeping rates. We've seen that from the intermonth speakers that are happening. And we'll see continuing claims, initial claims. Initial claims have been rising ever so slightly. 290,000 is the expectation from over 300,000 last week. And rounding out the week, I think, is important. It's a Philly Fed business outlook. Expected to be 9, nothing strong there. Leading index expected to be 0.3 versus 0.5. And the market U.S. manufacturing PMI is expected to be 53.6, dropping again from 53.9 last period. This is the preliminary number for February in the U.S. So manufacturing has been slowing a bit. We're seeing that service index is holding up pretty well. Employment is doing pretty good. But a lot of the numbers in terms of manufacturing has been slowing. Factory orders, productivity, etc. All that's coming next week. So keep an eye on those throughout the week. I think it will be very market moving in this holiday shortened week that we have coming up. Now, in terms of earnings, let's shift to this because there are a few names in here that I think will be very interesting to watch. We have a lot of energy companies coming out with earnings this week coming, and you can see that the implied volatility where we're looking at what could be the move of the stock that is priced in by the options players in the options market are pretty high when it comes to many of the names in the energy space. For example, energy and materials, we'll say. Walter Energy is about a 17% implied one-day move. We also have Diamondback Energy coming out, 3%. Okay. We have, let's see, I circled a few of these. Key Energy Services, 23% implied move. Regency Energy Partners, 16%. So you see that there is a lot of uncertainty. That's really what happens when you see these large implied moves coming in, because what you're seeing is that options players are setting up for both sides, but pretty substantial move on those. But the key earnings that I really wanted to focus in on, I want you to take some of these names down and look at these. We have Fossil Group. You know, this is the watchmaker, and this is, or not watchmaker, but the watch sales. And Fossil, I think, is something that is on my list of companies to watch. No pun there, but I think that if you really consider the idea of wearables and you consider this generation that uses their phone for almost everything, and you consider really the whole idea of who's wearing watches, what generation is wearing watches, is there a big calling for that? I would wonder whether or not Fossil Group is going to see some downside. Estimates for their earnings that are coming on the 17th after the market close offer about $3.07 per share on about $1.1 billion of sales. Estimates have been lowered over the last 4 weeks, about 1% on their EPS and slightly lower on their revenues. The implied move for that stock is about 6%. I would watch this. If you see the chart, it doesn't look anything good at all, but they've had a lot of movement. They've had a lot of opportunity to realize what's going on, maybe make some changes as we talked about earlier in this episode about what to do. Now, Rackspace Hosting is seeing a lot of pressure because companies that compete with them in the cloud storage space have been lowering their prices dramatically over the last couple of years. Rackspace Hosting, RAX, is the symbol coming out the 17th after the market, also expected to see 19 cents of earnings, EPS, for the quarter on about $473 million. Not much of a change over the last couple of weeks with analyst earnings estimates. The only thing I could tell you here is that if they do a good job at somehow bringing on additional revenue, I think that will be the key here, and there should be a real significant earnings mover. Virgin America, VA, the symbol on the 18th before the market. This is the low-cost domestic air carrier. Recently IPO'd, been pretty aggressively moving around, looking at about 79 cents on $370 million of sales. A lot will come into the cost factors of their fuel costs and the travel and how much travel has increased or not with this company. We're seeing that many of the airlines have been moving directly in response to oil prices over the last 4 or 5 months. And as oil prices start to come back up, the question is, did these companies do a good enough job at hedging their oil exposure? That's something that I think we should look at. Now, again, there's a lot of companies, about 95 major companies that I have listed that are looking to bring out their earnings next week, but I'm just highlighting a few of these. SolarCity, Elon Musk and Tesla's company, you know, they're related. They're coming out on the 18th after the market, looking like they have a loss of about $1.27 per share on about $71 million of revenue. I wonder really if this company is going to be starting to be priced as a utility and look at a PE like that and really drop significantly, or if Musk can do what he can to make this company really significantly something much different than what it is at this point, and whether or not there may be some opportunity for SolarCity to build maybe facilities for other companies that are looking to save money utilizing solar energy, not just the residential area. Your price line coming out on the 19th, expectations are about $10 per share of earnings on a $1.8 billion. Now, the big question of the day here is whether or not people are traveling as much with all the geopolitical concerns around the world, and whether or not Priceline has still the name that people are going to around the world. We did see that they have a very significant exposure to Europe compared to some of the other travel sites and the booking sites. But Priceline has been really playing very aggressively recently. They're coming out before the market opens on the 19th. Usually there's a pretty good move. The implied one-day move is looking at about 4% on that stock. And again, I think this is going to be a key number into what's happening with the consumer and whether or not they're going to be traveling as much. So you have some airlines that you can be looking at. You have also now these booking sites that will give us some insight into consumer activity. Also talking about consumers on the 19th after the market, we're looking at Nordstrom coming out, one of the big box retailers. Estimates are about $1.35 a share and about $4 billion. We have Intuit coming out right before tax season. We'll see what's happening in terms of if they can really convert. I use a couple of different of their products for different things. One of the things that I've seen is their recent trial of the QuickBooks program, which is online, is awful. Absolutely awful. They're trying to convert just like, for example, Adobe did, where they're trying to come up with a model that has continual earnings on a regular basis, on a monthly basis, cloud-based, et cetera, cut their costs, no more software. But I don't think they've really done a very good job at some of that. So we'll have to watch that. Looking for a loss of about 13 cents, which probably is what, you know, right in what I'm talking about here, on sales of about $787 million. Now, Walmart will be out on the 19th. This is because of a good read, the number one largest retailer. Looking for $1.53 a share on about $132 billion of revenue. Mohawk Industries there. Now, this is a company that does flooring, a lot of wood flooring, laminates, etc. We'll see how they're playing with the fixer-up and new homeowner situation where people are going in to try to buy their floors for various different, whether it's going to be maybe a new home or whether it's going to be an existing home. We'll see what happens there. You look at Lumber Liquidators, did not do very well over the last few years, even though we thought that the housing market is doing much better. Looking for about $2.20 on $1.9 billion. Pretty good. And we have Deer & Company, you know, tractor manufacturer, et cetera. We'll see what happens on the 20th before the market, looking for 82 cents on about $5.6 billion. And a whole host of other companies coming out. But a lot, like I said, a lot of energy-related names that will be coming out next week. Energy Materials, Iron Mountain, that's different here. Let's see what else we have on the list. Cheniere Energy, Bill Barrett. Let's see what else. That's about Lynn Energy will be coming out. So a good listing of names that will be coming out next week. I think this is where we're seeing the, not the end of, but the kind of the tapering off of earnings season, even though there's about 100 names that are coming out next week that are key. But this will give us a real good look at this. Now, I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to say it again, take a look at the charts that we put on over on the disciplinedinvestor.com that show you the earnings and the revenue estimates moving forward for S&P 500 companies. And scratch your head for a second, because this really could be the next real concern for markets. Unless there's going to be a massive PE expansion because everybody's just absolutely giddy and thinking that, earnings are important but not too important. And if we see continuation of central banks around the world surprising with all sorts of cuts and with all sorts of stimulus efforts, aside from that, earnings really are the heart of what market prices into their projections. And if we see that we're going to actually have a reduction of earnings growth and a reduction in revenue growth so significant over the next couple of quarters, you have to wonder if markets could really hold these levels right now. We'll see. We'll see. But I'm a little skeptical. I'm always a little skeptical. I'm a little bit more skeptical right now. I think pricing has gotten way ahead of itself. I think a lot of it has to do with foreign money into our markets here because they're escaping many of the areas around the world that aren't doing as well. They're putting money in the U.S. as a safe haven. They're putting money in Europe because there's QE going on. And they're really looking past all of these earnings issues and not paying much attention, buying up the ETFs, buying up futures, buying up the indices. And that's what's really happening with individual stocks rising, regardless of the outlook by many of these companies. If you look at some of the companies that have had guided lower and then you see maybe 2 or 3 weeks, maybe that long, maybe shorter, have dropped off and really come into what their real price should be and then all of a sudden turn around, move higher just because markets are moving higher, you have to wonder if that's something more than just, you know, the excitement over the name rather than maybe it's excitement over the markets or maybe it's just foreign money coming in with the idea that this is safe haven and then they buy the index, they buy the ETFs, they buy the futures, and that just brings up all the names entirely. Well, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's episode. I want to thank you for joining me. And of course, you can check out all the things that are important over on thedisciplinedinvestor.com as well as follow me on Twitter. Andrew Horowitz is the handle, at Andrew Horowitz. And also listen to me on DH Unplugged. Don't forget this Tuesday coming up, 11 a.m. TradeStation Tuesdays, stocks and ETF update. Make sure to check that out as well. And we'll keep you informed of what's going on. Hopefully keep you on the right track. Make you some money. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contains forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor, regulated in various states. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.